Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
जयो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीम अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद निश्चलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य वर्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद मुक्तिवाणी भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम कीर्तन श्रीमद्भागवतम क्लास कीर्तन युग धर्म श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन कीर्तन समवेत भक्त वृंद कीर्तन निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि 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 बोल हरि हरि बोल
मनोवैकारिके हुत्वा
The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. the false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Purport. This verse describes how a yogi can become free from material affection. Because of material affection, a karmi cannot see himself. Jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit. But the yogis, the best of whom are the bhakti yogis, want to return home back to Godhead. The karmis are completely in illusion. The jnanis are neither in illusion nor in positive knowledge. But the yogis, especially the bhakti yogis, are completely on the spiritual platform. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26. Mam chayo vyadhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan savatityaitan brahma bhoyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Thus a devotee's position is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others, such as jnanis and bhakti yogis, can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychology and nullifying the false ego by which one thinks, I am this body, a product of matter. One must merge the false ego into the total material energy and merge the total material energy into the supreme energetic. This is the process of becoming free from material attraction.
Om Ajnate Amphasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakturam Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manodrishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Tadamahyam Tadati Swah Padandikam Vandeham Shri Guroha Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Saprajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadbhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिता कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाक्षाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Hare Krishna. At the very beginning of today's lecture, I would like to pay my most respectfully prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of their lordships Sri Sri Radha and Shyam Sundara, along with their eternal associates like Sri Lalitadevi, Sri Vishakhadevi, Sri Dhruparati Ranjani, etc. I would also like to submit my most respectfully prostrated homages unto the lotus feet of their lordships Sri Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their eternal associates like Sri Lalupa Goswami and Sri Sanatana Goswami, along with other all the six Goswamis of Sri Rama Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhaya Charana Ravindra Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very nicely propagated the doctrine of Krishna consciousness throughout this world in this present modern era in a most enchanting way. Conclusively, I would like to commence the context under discussion, the context of the 7th canto, 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. As we have been discussing from yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj, who is the devotee of Lord Narayana, in passive state, Shankarati, there are five mellows or five types of relationships known as Pancha Mukhya Bhakti Rasa, five types of primary relationships and devotional mellows that exist in the reciprocatory process between Bhakta and Bhagavan. So among these five types of relationship, the most primary and elementary type of devotion is known as Shantarati, or the devotion in passive state. So Prahlad Maharaj is exemplifying the devotional service in passive state. And as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained to Srila Rupa Goswami in his instructions in the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he is giving his divine sermons to Rupa Goswami in the holy land of Prayag, which is also known as Tirtharaj Prayag, which is also known as the crown jewel, the crest jewel of all the sacred pilgrimage places where the Trinity of Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati reunite. So, by giving instructions at that spot to Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu explains that in Shantarati, the special characteristics of Shantarati are, first is Krishna Dhyan and the second is Krishna Nishtha. These are the two qualities of devotional service performed on the level of Shantabhava, Shantarati, Shantarasa. So, in Prahlad Maharaj, we can see both of these qualities. The first quality is Krishnatyag. And Krishnatyag is not the intrinsic characteristic of Shantarati. It is rather considered to be the extrinsic characteristic of Shantarati. Because Krishnatyag means avoidance of all other desires except to please Lord Narayana. That is Krishna Dhyan. And Krishna Nishtha means becoming firmly fixed in devotion to Lord Narayana. So one cannot become firmly fixed in devotion to Lord Narayana before relinquishing all the other mundane and spiritual desires, as we were discussing yesterday. That is why the basis for Krishna Nishtha is Krishna Dhyan. Without Krishna Dhyan, Krishna Nishtha, the status of Krishna Nishtha cannot be acquired. The firmness, the fixedness in devotion to Krishna or Narayana cannot be acquired without relinquishing all the other superficial motives and desires and external volitions. So, but still, Krishna Nishtha or fixedness in devotional service to Lord is considered to be the intrinsic characteristic, whereas Krishna Dhyan is considered to be the extrinsic characteristic here. And a special unique feature about Shantarati is that in Shantarati there is no mood to physically actively serve the Lord. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes very clear in while explaining Shantrati and Dasyarati. Starting from Dasyarati, the mood, the sentiment of physically and actively and consciously serving the Lord arises. So what do we mean by Krishna Nikhana? What do we mean that in Shantrati a person is fixed in devotion? What do we mean by devotion? If the mood of service is not there, then what do we mean by devotion? Yes, what we mean by devotion here is constant remembrance of the Lord. Because as Sarva Purana is stating, Smartavyaha satatam Vishnuho Vismartavyam najatuchit Sarve Vishethasyuho Etayore Vakintaraha. It has been described that there are innumerable prohibitive injunctions and regulative injunctions found within all different types of revealed scriptures propounding either Karma Marga, Jnana Marga, Ashtanga Yoga Marga or Bhakti Marga. But among all these scriptures which are propounding the scientific processes in reference to all these other different paths, in all these scriptures there are many different prohibitive injunctions and regulations being depicted. They have been described there. But the most important positive regulation and the most important negative prohibitive injunction, what is that? What is the most important vidhi and what is the most important nishedha here? The most important vidhi means most important positive action, regulative injunction is to always remember Lord Narayana, and the most important prohibitive injunction, nishedha vakya, prohibited statement, avoidance of prohibited activity. What is the most important type of prohibited injunction? That is to never forget or never forget the Lord. Never forget the Lord. Vismartavyam na jatuchi sarvehi nishedhasi vetayora kevalivakinkara. And then Lord Vedavyasa states in Dharma Purana that all the other different types of injunctions and prohibitions, whether positive or negative, are all followers, are all subordinate to these two main injunctions and prohibitions. So in the state of Shantarati, on the platform of Shantarati, what we mean by Krishna Nishtha is only remembrance of the Lord. And that is why you will see that devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, etc., who are exemplifying the character of Shantrati, who are not in Dasyarati or who are not on any other later stage of devotion, they are not eligible to physically and consciously serve the Lord. They are only eligible to constantly remember the Lord without being hampered by other superficial extraneous desires like of liberation and sense enjoyment. This is the characteristic of Shantrati. So, Prahlad Maharaj is exemplifying the character of Shantrati here. And this Brahmana who is imparting his instructions to Prahlad Maharaj, now he is saying, the instructions actually that he is giving here, this Brahmana is giving here to Prahlad Maharaj, those instructions are in relation to Jnanis and Ashtanga Yogis. Because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is clearly writing that these instructions of investing the rational discrimination, the rational discrimination between anything good and bad found in the material world. Now here it is stated that vikalpam, vikalpam means discrimination, when you have an option, option of good and bad, vikalpa actually means option. Vikalpa means option, when you have an option of good and bad, but whether it be good or whether it be bad, they are all material options. In the material world, there are many options. Some options seem appealing and some options do not seem appealing or appeasing. Those items, those objects, those things, those persons from whom we do not receive any mundane pleasure in this mundane world, we consider those items, objects to be bad options. And those options, those vikalpas,
Those items, person and things, whether conscious or unconscious, whether dead or conscious, whether sentient or insentient, whether animate or inanimate, whether cognizant or incognizant, all the items found in this material world, if they seem to give us mundane pleasure, then they seem to be appealing to us. Then they seem appealing to us, pleasing to us. So those are good options for us, but they are all material items. Whether they be appealing or not appealing, whether they be pleasure giving or not pleasure giving, whether they be pain providing, distress providing, or pleasure providing, they are all considered to be material options. And from where do these material options arise? And from where do the concoction, from where do this discrimination of material choices arises? That which choice is better for me and which choice is not better for me? From where does the discrimination of this type arise? So from the mind, the discrimination arises. That is what has been clearly written in the shloka, vikalpam juhyat chittau tam manasya paribhrame. From chitta, this concoction, discrimination, this speculative discrimination or concoction of rationalizing between anything good and anything bad on the mundane level arises. So it is the mind, actually it is the function of the mind to discriminate or to choose from one of the options, one of the different various options found in this material world. That is why it has been written in the Sankhya Darshan, in the philosophy of Sankhya, which clearly describes in quite a bit of elaboration all these 24 material elements found within this material world. Starting from 5 material elements like earth, ether, water, fire, etc. And the 5 types of knowledge acquiring senses, panchayanendriyas, 5 types of action performing senses, panchakarmendriyas, 5 types of tanmatras, objects of the senses like shabda, sparsha, roopa, rasa, gandha, touch, sound, taste, smell, etc. And then 3 types of ahankaras, 3 types of false egos, 3 types of false egos, vaikarik ahankar, tamasik ahankar, and rajasik ahankar. So vaikarik ahankar is the false ego which arises from the mode of goodness, which is also known as sattvic ahankar. And rajasik ahankar is the false ego which arises from rajoguna, which arises from mode of passion. And tamasik ahankar, is the false ego, is the type of false ego which arises from the mode of ignorance, tamoguna. So all these 3 types of ahankaras have been described in quite a bit of detail in the 2nd and 3rd cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also they have been explained in summary in also the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are considered to be philosophical cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd, 3rd and 11th. While describing the process of sarga, primary creation, because there are 10 characteristics mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana, 10 characteristics of Mahapurana are present in Srimad Bhagavatam. If Srimad Bhagavatam were not to be a Mahapurana, if it were to be only a Sadharan Purana, normal Purana, then normal Purana only has 5 characteristics. But Mahapurana has 10 characteristics. And the last chapter, the 10th chapter of the 2nd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam mentions the 10 characteristics. Shukdev Goswami clearly delineates the 10 characteristics of Mahapurana, and they are all to be found in Srimad Bhagavatam in within different and various cantos they are found. So, then Shukdev Goswami states, Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshana motayaha manamantaresha anataha nirodho muktirashrayaha. So the first characteristic of Mahapurana is that the topic of sarga is discussed. So yes, in Srimad Bhagavatam also the topic of sarga is discussed, primarily in the 3rd canto and also in other cantos. So sarga is primary creation, the creation instigated by Karana Vakshaya Mahavishnu. And visarga means the creation instigated by Lord Brahma, who bonds from the lotus emanating from the level of Lord Garbha Vakshaya Vishnu. So the creation of Brahma does not create the 24 main original ingredients of material nature. Rather, the main 24 original ingredients of material nature, starting from Mahatattva and Brahman, or the primordial soup, etc., they are all created by Karan Kakshai Mahavishnu when he glances on material nature, external potency, who is Tripuratmika, who is of threefold nature, ignorance, passion, and goodness. So, Mool Prakriti, or the most original form of material nature, she stays in her subtle form, in her unmanifest form. And that is why, whenever there has been discussion regarding Mool Prakriti in the Shastra, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mool Prakriti has been designated as, it has been entitled as Asat. And Pradhan and Mahatattva have been rather designated as Sat. What is the difference between Sat and Asat? If we just take the literal meaning, it would mean that Sat means that which exists. That which exists. That is the literal meaning of Sat. Sat means that which has Satta. Satta means existence. That which has Satta, that which possesses existence, is known as Satpada, is known as an object which is existing, Satpada. But that which does not have any existence is known as Asat. The prefix A, the pratyaya A here, no, the upasarga A, the prefix A, according to the Sanskrit grammar, completely negates the whole meaning found in the original word. So, the meaning of the original word Sat is that which exists. And when the A prefix is added, that means that which does not exist. It completely negates the meaning of the original word. When you add the A prefix there. So, Asat literally means that which does not exist, but that meaning is not taken. Because Mool Prakriti is the cause of both Pradhan and Mahatattva. And from Mahatattva, you see, first is Mool Prakriti, then comes Pradhan, then comes Mahatattva. And from Mahatattva do arise these threefold types of false egos. Like false ego in goodness, false ego in passion, false ego in ignorance. Sattvic ahankar, rajasic ahankar, and tamasic ahankar. And then from these three types of false ego, all other subsidiary items are produced. Like from tamasic ahankar, from the false ego arising from the mode of ignorance. What comes out? From the false ego arising from the mode of ignorance, come out five material elements. Pancha Mahabhut, like ether, water, air, fire, earth, etc. And also from these five, the false ego in the mode of ignorance, also comes out the five types of sense objects, like sound, touch, smell, taste, etc. From the false ego in the mode of passion, rajasic ahankar, come out five action performing, five knowledge acquiring senses, pancha jnanendriya and pancha karmendriya. This is all described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from the false ego, coming out from mode of goodness, sattvic ahankar, also known as vaikarik ahankar. And this vaikarik ahankar is mentioned here in the shloka. Mano vaikarike bhutva tam mayayam jhutyano. So vaikarik ahankar gets produced from mode of goodness. And vaikarik ahankar is the cause for mind, intelligence, ego, and the subtle impressions. What do you mean by subtle impressions here? Yes, antahkaran or the subtle body has four divisions. Mind, intelligence, ego, and the subtle impressions. Oh, we have never heard of subtle impressions so far. We have only heard of three items. Mind, intelligence, and ego consisting of the subtle body, sukshma sharir. Subtle body only consists of threefold items, mind, intelligence, and ego, man, buddhi, and ahankar. And you are talking about the fourth item here? Oh yes, we are talking about the fourth item here, because the Sankhya Darshana mentions, and also Srimad Bhagavatam also sometimes mentions. The thing is, Normally, only the Trinity is described. Normally, in the Shastra, Shastrika usage only describes Trinity. Whenever you see, Shastra will only always describe Trinity. And sometimes it will describe the fourth division. Like just like there are four Vedas. Samaveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda and Rigveda. But most of the time when Shastras will start describing the Vedas, Shastras will say only three Vedas or Trayi Veda. Veda Trayi. There also in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, whenever Vedas have been described, Lord Krishna only talks about Trayi Veda. Trayi means only three Vedas. And most of the time in Shastras, only three Vedas are mentioned, Samaveda, Yajurveda and Rigveda. Atharvaveda is excluded. But does that mean that Atharvaveda is not Veda? No. Just because Atharvaveda's name is not mentioned in a normal Shastrika usage, it does not mean that Atharvaveda is not part of the Veda. It is also fourth part of the Veda. So also, normally Shastra mentions, while describing subtle body, only three bold items, mind, intelligence and ego. It does not talk about the fourth division of subtle body, which are the inner subtle impressions. And these subtle impressions are known as Chitta. Chitta is the fourth part of subtle body. Man, Buddhi, Ahankar and Chitta. So these four items consisting the subtle body, Sukshma, Sharir, Antahakarana, these four items arise from the mode of, from the Ahankar, from the ego, which is produced from the mode of goodness, Vaikarika Ahankar, Sattvika Ahankar. And all these three types of egos, Sattvika Ahankar, Rajasika Ahankar and Tamasika Ahankar, they arise from Mahatattva. That is the aggregate. Mahatattva is termed as aggregate, material. Mahatattva is considered to be the aggregate of all the material elements. And from where Mahatattva arises? Mahatattva arises from Pradhan, primordial. And Pradhan arises from Mool Prakriti, from Maya. This Maya that has been discussed here in this shloka, that mano vaikarike hutva tam mayayam juhutyano, that you know, false ego also should be invested within the total material energy, Maya. False ego should be invested within the total material energy, Maya, as oblations, juhutyano, as oblations, just like in fire sacrifice, as oblations or as, you know, rituals, or as in the matter of you know, giving oblations, we put all the different types of sacrificial items into the fire, like havan samagri, or like those herbs which are used in, you know, as giving oblations to the fire, giving fire sacrifice. So oblations means to invest. So here, for the hatha yogis and for the gyanis, this instruction is given, not for the bhakti margis. This process has not been followed by the devotees. Why? Because it has been described in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Lord himself says that Vishaya Vinivartante Nirahasya Dehinaha Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate Vishaya Vinivartante. By forcibly controlling the senses and restricting the senses from being united with the sense objects, one can say that, oh, I have restricted the senses from being united with the sense objects. That is alright. That is the process of pratyahara, which is found in the eightfold yoga system, Ashtanga Yoga. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahara. Pratyahara is the fifth limb of Ashtanga Yoga. It is the fifth limb of the eightfold mystic yoga process. So pratyahara means to withdraw the senses forcibly from its sense objects. And the stage of pratyahara can only be attained after going through the first four stages of yama, niyama, asana and pranayama. Then comes pratyahara, then dharana, dhyana, samadhi. This is the ashtanga yoga process here. So, and dhyana is also required to withdraw their senses forcibly from their sense objects. And jnanis also require that their mind should be invested in their false ego, and that false ego should also be invested within the original form of material nature, Mool Prakriti Maya. But this process has not to be accepted by the devotees. Jnana is also required in this process. How? Because Adi Shankaracharya, who is the most authorized person to speak on Jnana Marg, because he is Jnana Marg. Vaishnavacharyas are not following Jnana Marg. Vaishnavacharyas are following Bhakti Marg, the line of devotional service. But the path of mental speculation or concoction or the knowledge which aims at merging into Brahman, Jnana Marg, the most authorized person to speak on Jnana Marg is Sri Shankaracharya, because he is the Acharya of Jnana Marg. So according to Shankaracharya, four things are required in order to ascend onto Jnana Marg. Four things are required, and he calls them Sadhan Chatushtay. He calls them Sadhan Chatushtay. And what are the four sadhanas? Just like Ashtanga Yoga has eight limbs, we never hear of the limbs of Jnana Marg. We only hear about the limbs of Bhakti Marg and Ashtanga Yoga. Bhakti Marga has nine limbs: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakshamatma, Nivedanam. Ashtanga Yoga has eight limbs, starting from Yama and ending up to Samadhi. And Karma Marga also has two limbs, Naivitik Karma and Nitya Karma. But we never hear of the limbs of Jnana Marga. So Shankaracharya reveals the limbs of Jnana Marga. He calls them Sadhan Chatushtay. He says Jnana Marga has four limbs. And what are those four limbs? The first limb is known as Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivek. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivek means the rational wisdom using which the jnani discriminates all the eternal items found within this material world from all the temporal objects. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivek. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here in the purport, that because of material attraction, a karmi cannot see himself, but jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit. Yes, so the first limb of Jnana Marga, as described by Adi Shankaracharya, is Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivek. You try to discriminate between what are temporal items and what are eternal items. Only the soul is eternal, otherwise all the other objects found in this material world, made up of five elements, including the gross body and subtle body, are temporal. This is the first thing required in Jnana Marga, Nitya Nitya Vastu Viveka. Second thing required in Jnana Marga is Ihamutra Phala Bhoga Vairagaha. Ihamutra Phala Bhoga Vairagaha. What is Ihamutra Phala Bhoga Vairagaha? Ihamutra Phala Bhoga Vairagaha means, after knowing what are temporal items and what are eternal items, one becomes detached from all that what is temporal and becomes attached only to that which is eternal. He only becomes jnani, only becomes attached to the soul, to the jivatma, to his spirit. He becomes detached from all the items made of matter. And because he becomes detached from all the items made of matter, due to that being temporal, he founds no pleasure, either in enjoying on the earth planet or enjoying in the celestial heavenly planets. Ihamutra phala bhoga virada. He becomes completely detached from all sense objects and all types of sense enjoyments found either on the earthly domain or on the celestial domain. This is Ihamutra phala bhoga virada. And third limb of Jnana Marga is known as Shamadamadi Sampannata. Shamadamadi Sampannata means Jnani has to have qualities like Shama, Dham, Titiksha, etc. Titiksha means forbearance, tolerance, just like a tree. Just like a tree, you have to tolerate the dualities or the dvandvas found within this material world. Dualities like Shita, Ushna, hot and cold. Dualities like victory and defeat. Dualities like Lava and Hani. Lava and Hani means the dualities of, you know, gaining something and losing something. The dualities of victory and defeat, Jaya and Parajaya. The dualities of hot and cold, Shita and Ushna. That is why Lord Krishna also says, Matra Sparshastra Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukata Khadaha. This quality that Jnani should have. We should have Titiksha, forbearance, just like a tree. Then we should also have Shama. Shama means controlling the mind. He cannot let his mind wander in different types of sense objects. And you should also have Dhamma. Dhamma means controlling the physical senses, the external outer senses, especially the Panchgyanendriya and Panchkarmendriya. Five knowledge acquiring, five action performing. He controls his outer senses also. He also controls his inner sense mind. He also controls his 10 outer senses, and that is known as Dhamma. So Dhamma Shamati Diksha. Jnani is united with all these, you know, divine qualities. And then the fourth limb of Jnana Marg is Mumukshutva. What is Mumukshutva? Mumukshutva means the desire to attain liberation. Now, you see, Jnana Marg is only 75% close to Bhakti Marg. Because Mumukshutva is not present in Bhakti Marg, if the desire for liberation will become present, then Shuddha Bhakti Marg will become destroyed. But Shamanabhadi Sampannata, Ihamatra Phalabhog Virag, and Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivek are also useful for the devotees. For the devotees also, the three former limbs of Jnana Marg are useful. But not the last limb, Mumukshutva, the desire for liberation. So, these are the four limbs of Jnana Marg. So, Jnani also discriminates between matter and spirit. And there are many different types of yogis like Hatha yogis, Ashtanga yogis, Raja yogis, etc. And they also try to forcibly withdraw their senses and mind from the sense objects. But devotee does not have to undergo this process, this very rigid, hard and fast process. Why? Because it is said by Lord Krishna, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehinah Rasavarjam Rasokyasya Paramrishtva Nivartate. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that for my devotee, as soon as he ascends onto the platform of Bhava Bhakti, and what is to know Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti, even if he is on the level of Sadhana Bhakti, he gets more pleasure than either a Jnani or a Ashtanga Yogi who is also on the level of his own Sadhana. You see, there are two levels, Sadhana and Sadhya. In any marg, in any path you take, whether Jnana marg, Yoga marg or Bhakti marg, there are two stages, former and latter. Former stage means Sadhana and the latter stage means Sadhya. In Bhakti marg also there are two stages, Sadhana and Sadhya. Sadhana stage is known as Sadhana Bhakti, Sadhya stage is known as Prema Bhakti. In Jnana marg also there are two stages, Sadhana and Sadhya. And Yoga Marg also, there are Ashtanga Yoga also has two stages. So, even if you compare the Sadhana stage of Bhakti Marg with this Sadhana stage of Jnana and Ashtanga Yoga Marg, you will find that in the Sadhana stage of, you know, Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Margas, those Ashtanga Yogis and Jnanis do not rejoice, even for the slightest. Because their Sadhanas are only negative Sadhanas. Restraining the senses, this and that. They don't found any pleasure. The only place that they start, the only stage from where they start finding pleasure is when Jnanis and Ashtanga Yogis, they attain their Sadhya stage. When Jnanis and Ashtanga Yogis, they attain their Sadhya stage. And what is their Sadhya stage? Their Sadhya stage is either merging into impersonal Brahman or merging into Super Soul, Paramatma, Shiva Dakshai Vishnu. Ashtanga Yogis merge in Paramatma, Paramatma Sayujya. And Jnanis merge in impersonal Brahman, Brahma Sayujya. This is the only place that they start finding pleasure. During their sadhana avastha, during their practice, stage of practice, they do not find any pleasure. Whereas even in the sadhana avastha of Bhakti Marg, it is full of pleasure. You cannot say that sadhana bhakti has no pleasure. Activities like hearing the pastimes of the Lord, sweet pastimes, chanting of the sweet names of the Lord, worshipping His most enchanting deity form, these different types of sadhanas are not attractive, are not pleasure providing, are not enchanting. Oh yes, so even Bhakti Marg is attractive and enchanting in its sadhana avastha, in its sadhana stage. And that is why, with Niraharasya Dehinah Rasavarjam Rasokyasya Paramdrishtvani Vartate, what to speak of ascending unto the level of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti, that is full of ananda. Those stages are full of ahladini shakti. Ananda, Paramananda, transcendental pleasure. But even if a devotee is on the sadhana stage, naturally he does not become attracted to the material, sense gratificatory, sensual items and attractions, because he gets such a pleasure from his practice. practice of devotion from his sadhana bhakti. But yogis and jnanis, they do not get this pleasure. Ashtanga yogis and jnanis. They only get pleasure during their sadhya avastha. So, now we were talking about sat and asat actually. So, Moola Prakriti, which is the unmanifest form of the matter and which is the most original form of matter, and from where Mahatattva and Pradhana arise, that Moola Prakriti or subtle matter, unmanifest matter, original type of matter is also known as Avyakta in the Shastra. Avyakta means that which is unmanifest. And Pradhan and Mahatattva and everything coming after Pradhan and Mahatattva, they are put into the category of Vyakta Prakriti. Vyakta Prakriti and Avyakta Prakriti. Avyakta means unmanifest matter. Vyakta Prakriti means gross matter. So gross matter is known as Sat. And unmanifest matter, Moola Prakriti, Avyakta is known as Asat. Why? If we take the literal meaning, then Asat means not existing. But that meaning cannot be taken because Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu, while writing his Govinda Bhashya commentary on Sri Vedanta Sutra, he says that there are five items found within this world. Ishwara means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, Absolute Truth. Jivatma, which means the living entity, controlled. Prakriti, which means material nature, Kala, which means material time, and Karma, which means material actions. These are the five, you know, objects being described by Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu in his Govinda Bhashya on the Vedanta. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that among these five, four items are eternal, the first four. First four means Ishwara is eternal, he is beginningless and endless. The Lord is beginningless and endless, he is eternal. He is anadi, he is shashvata nitya. Jivatma is also beginningless and endless, eternal. Prakriti is the original form of material nature. Prakriti means mool prakriti, avyakta, asat. That means unmanifest matter, the most original form of nature. Prakriti, external potency of Krishna, she is also eternal. Jivatma, marginal potency, he is also eternal. External potency is also eternal. Prakriti. Kaal, time, material time factor, that is also eternal. But karma is not eternal. But here, Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that although karma is not eternal, it has at least one quality of being eternal. Karma is beginningless, but it has an end. Karma or material actions are beginningless, but they have an end. Whereas the other four, Ishwara, Jiva, Kala and Prakriti, have no beginning and no end. And among these four eternal items, two are conscious, living entity and the Supreme Personality of God. Two are conscious, whereas Prakriti, material nature, is not conscious, Kala, material time, is not conscious, and karmas are also not conscious. Now, Prakriti or material nature, she has been considered unconscious, dead, insentient, inert, jad, not chinmay, not spiritual, not full of consciousness. So material nature has been considered unconscious and at the same time eternal, which means without beginning and without end. So if we say that Moola Prakriti or the most original form of material nature is asat, and if we take the meaning of asat as not existing, then it would contradict the meaning given by Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu. And it will also contradict the meaning given by Veda Vyas. Material nature is eternal. It is ever existing, without beginning and without end. But then, still it is called asata because it is not manifest. Sometimes, things which are not manifest are put into abhav category. You see, there are 10 types of evidences that Srila Jiva Goswami Pada talks about in the beginning of his Tattva Sandar. There are 10 types of pramanas, evidences. Pratyaksha, anuman, shabda, upaman, arthapatti, sambhava, abhava, etihya, cheshta, arsh, etc. And within these 10 types of evidences, one type of evidence is known as abhav praman, the evidence of non-existence. So then Jiva Goswami explains that just as a pot is existing, a pot made of clay is existing, but because between you and the muddy pot, there is a wall standing. There is a wall standing between you and the muddy pot. The muddy pot is on the other side of the wall and you are on the other side of the wall. So you, because you cannot see the muddy pot, you think that the muddy pot is not existing. You take abhav, you take non-existence of the muddy pot. That is known as abhav praman. But really, muddy pot is existing. It is not existing in your perception, but it is still existing. In the same way, Mool Prakriti, subtle matter, is existing, but Mool Prakriti is in its unmanifest form. So, because it is not seen, or because it is not perceivable by the unaided eyes, it cannot be experienced by the unaided eyes and the senses. That is why, using the abhav praman, using the evidence of impossibility, non-existence, it is described that actually the material nature is not existing. Just because material nature, Mool Prakriti, is avyakta, unmanifest, it is considered asatar. Not that it is really not existing. No, it is really existing. Otherwise, it cannot be placed as an internal icon by Baldev Vidyabhushan Prabhu. So here, when the Brahmana says that please invest the vikalpa, the faculty of making choices is considered to be the function of mind. Mind performs sankalpa and vikalpa. Mind performs choosing from different material choices. So mind performs the act of sankalpa vikalpa. But here the Brahmana is saying that invest your mind into the vaikari ahankar, into the false ego which is coming out from the mode of goodness. And then also invest vaikari ahankar into mahatattva. And then invest mahatattva into pradhan, and then invest pradhan into mool prakriti, the subtle and manifest form of the well matter, which is also known as asat or avyakta. And then you attain liberation. This is actually sadhya mukti and krama mukti being described here. You know, there are two types of muktis where being described in the very very early part of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the second canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first and second chapters of the second canto, where Shukadeva Goswami describes to Maharaj Parikshit Satya Mukti and Krama Mukti. So these are the processes not accepted by devotees. These are only useful for jnanis. And this is the also the import of the purport written by Srila Prabhupada here on this verse. So now, since we have reached the time limit, we will end our class. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Then why is Shukadeva mentioned several times in this process which we want to follow? Is he going to do it? Because it's a Purana, as you mentioned?
No, actually, you know, the thing is, our acharyas have explained in their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam that at one point Srimad Bhagavatam in the very beginning makes promise that it will not describe any type of cheating religion. Dharmaha Prajjita Kaita Vatra Paramon Nirmat Saranam Satam. That is the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there Vedavyasa says that I will not describe either dharma, artha, kaam or moksha, which are all cheating religions, which are all cheating propensities. I will only describe the param dharma of the jivatma. I will only describe the eternal and the real function of the living entity, and that is devotion unto Lord Narayana, Shuddha Bhakti. But then why all these things have been described, jnana marg and karma marg? This is the question which arises. Yes, they have to be described because it has been explained by the acharyas that what is the purpose of darkness? Why in this material world we don't have any light? Why in this material world we only have light? Why in this material world we have both light and darkness? Why cannot we only have light? If light is the only useful item,
why we still have darkness? What is the need of darkness? If the light is there, what is the need of darkness? What is the need of nescience? What is the need of oblivion if knowledge is there? So the answer is given that darkness is needed in order to prove the significance of light. Yes? If darkness is not there, how will you realize the need and the significance and the glories of light, illumination, prakash? If only timid, if only andhkar, if only darkness, if only oblivion is existing. Or if only illumination, prakash is existing, then we will not be able to know the glories of both of these two items. Only when they start coexisting, only then we will be able to know the glories of both of them by discriminating. So, if only illumination will exist and darkness will not exist, then illumination cannot be really glorified and cannot be understood in its true aspect, in its true form. The darkness has to be present in order to create variety there, in order to prove. That is why you see, the question is asked also by describing Shringar, by describing the conjugal pastimes of Vrindavan Leela. The question is asked that there are two groups of cowherd maidens. One group is headed by Chandravali, another group is headed by Srimati Radhika. And it has been described that only Srimati Radhika can fully please Lord Krishna due to her madhusneha. Chandravali cannot please due to her grihasneha type of love. The types of love that Chandravali and Radha possess are different in caliber. Only the type of love that Radha possesses can fully actually satisfy Krishna. So then the question arises, what is the need of Chandravali if she cannot fully satisfy the Lord? Yes, there is need of Chandravali just in order to make the supremacy and the exalted position of Srimati Radhika and her group appear clearly. And that is why the Acharyas have also used the same logic while stating that in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, jnana, ashtanga yoga, etc., all these other paths have been rejected. And then why again in Srimad Bhagavatam these paths are mentioned? So that the devotees of the Lord, for whom Bhagavatam is written, it is not written for jnanis, karmis and yogis, it is written only for the bhaktas, that we can know from dharma, projita, kaita, vatra, paramam, nirmatsaranam, satam. Jnanis are still envious. They are not nirmatsara. Because they are envious of the Lord, they want to merge and become one with the Lord. They do not want to serve Him except in humble and submissive position. So jnanis are envious. They are matsara. They are not nirmatsara. Nirmatsara means only bhakta, devotee. And Srimad Bhagavatam is only for devotee, nirmatsaranam satam. But so that the devotees can easily discriminate between Bhakti Marg, Jnana Marg, Ashtanga Yoga Marg and Karma Marg. All these other paths are also mentioned so that devotees can judge that, oh, Jnana Marg and Ashtanga Yoga Marg are so difficult in their sadhana stage, whereas Bhakti Marg is so easy to execute and accomplish in its sadhana stage. You see, in the sadhana stage of Jnana Marg and Yoga Marg, you have to invest mind into intelligence into false ego into material nature. These are all very difficult processes. Practically, they cannot be even thought of. We cannot even think of these processes in this 21st century. So, devotees can easily compare Jnana, Ashtanga, Yoga and Karma with Bhakti, and they can easily realize, so that they can easily realize the glories and the immanence of devotional service. These other paths are sometimes mentioned, but in a neglected way. In a neglected way they are mentioned. Yes? I do not understand your question. Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, but even though Bhishma was able to do this process, you see, sometimes Ashtanga Yoga can be helpful to devotional service if the only goal is to serve the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions in his Vidvat Ranjan Bhashya on Bhagavad Gita that sometimes even Jnana and Ashtanga Yoga can be useful, but only partially. You cannot use that part of Jnana Marga which makes you merge with the Brahman. You can only use that part of Jnana Marga which is also found within devotional service, just like we described. You know, this rational discrimination between what is eternal and temporary, and becoming completely devoid of desires of sense gratification, and becoming endowed with different good qualities and virtues like Shamadama, etc. They are useful in Jnana Marga, they are also useful in devotional service. So, only Jnana Marga and Ashtanga Yoga can only be partially accepted. That is why, what is Sangha Siddha Bhakti? What is Sangha Siddha Bhakti? You see, Sangha Siddha Bhakti means not Swarup Siddha. Swarup Siddha Bhakti is only ninefold, Shravanam Kirtanam. But Sangha Siddha Bhakti are those virtues which assist devotional service, being subordinate to devotional service. Like the quality of forbearance, like the quality of controlling the mind, the quality of controlling the senses, becoming detached from the material sense objects. These are not essentially the part of devotional service, but they are helpful, or they are sometimes assisting devotional service. They are associates of devotional service. That is why they are known as Sangha Siddha Bhakti. So Ashtanga Yoga, if it is taken as Sangha Siddha Bhakti, then yes, it can be helpful sometimes. And so Bhishma Deva, he is one of the 12 Mahajanas. And Mahajanas, the 12 Mahajanas, they are not the acharyas of Jnana Marga or Ashtanga Yoga Marga or Karma Marga. They are acharyas of the Bhakti Marga. That is very clear. So Bhishma is an acharya of Bhakti Marga because his name comes in those 12 Mahajanas. And Bhishma Dev, his only goal was to serve the Lord in Shantarati. And that is why you will see that at the time of, at the last stage, at the time of his death, or at the time of his disappearance, Bhishma Dev has prayed unto the Lord that please grant me your devotion. That is not Jnana Marga. That is not the goal of Ashtanga Yoga Marga. So, if the goal of Ashtanga Yoga Marga is not there, the goal of Ashtanga Yoga Marga is to merge into Paramatma, Shiva Rakshai Vishnu. If the goal of Ashtanga Yoga Marga is not there, and if you perform Ashtanga Yoga Marga, taking it as a Sangha Siddha Bhakti, then it is really not considered Ashtanga Yoga Marga then. It is really considered Sangha Siddha Bhakti then. Yes. Now the question is, what need is there if the bhakti is fully self-supportive? It does not have to depend on these other items like Jnana, Karma, Yoga. Then what is the need that Bhishma Deva also performed Ashtanga Yoga Marga? Actually, Bhishma Deva had no need of performing Ashtanga Yoga even in the form of Sangha Siddha Bhakti, because bhakti is fully self-supportive. Swarup Siddha Bhakti is fully self-supportive. It does not need to take assistance from any other path. But the acharyas of Bhakti Marga sometimes also play the role of being the acharyas of Jnana Marga and Ashtanga Yoga Marga. That is why you will see that even acharyas like Narada, four Kumaras, and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, Narada, and four Kumaras, these are all acharyas of pure devotion. Shiva is considered to be the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Four Kumaras and Narada are also considered to be pure devotees. But they have also sometimes given instructions for Jnanis and Karma Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis within their books. Lord Vedavyasa, he is also, his primary goal is only to describe devotional service. But you will see that even in his writings, he has described many different types of things. And that is why, even though Bhishma is the Acharya of Bhakti Marga, he also sometimes, in order to set example for Karmis, Jnanis and Yogis, he also sometimes is seen enacting Ashtanga Yoga there. Yes. There are many different sides of these personalities. It is not that since Bhishma Dev is only Bhakti Yogi, he will only perform the ninefold types of devotion. No, he can also perform Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Marga just in order to set example for Ashtanga Yogis and Jnana Margis that how they should execute Jnana Marga and Ashtanga Yoga Marga. Yes. Yes.
That's there, so no part of Srimad Bhagavatam can be taken out of context.
Well, then the same logic can be also applied to the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where, you know, all these different types of planetary systems are described, and, you know, that portion of Srimad Bhagavatam is fully astronomical description, and that also has nothing to do with pure devotional service. Okay, so the thing is, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is just in order to prove the significance of devotional service, it is seen sometimes describing Ashtanga Yoga, Karma and Jnana. Because the logic of darkness and illumination has to be put into consideration here. That's the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes?
Bhakala Maharaj several times, especially in Dashasi Vekama, he's using the term and his servant. So how do we understand that it's the example of Maharaj?
No. They think themselves as servants of the Lord, but they do not want to physically serve the Lord. They just want to remember the Lord. That's it. That is the main quality of Shantabhava here. But you see, we are talking about the Shantrati of Vaikuntha. We are not talking about here in the Shantrati of Rajalila. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he explains Shantrati in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he only explains the Shantrati of Vaikuntha there. So don't become confused and perplexed that, oh, Shantrati means not physically serving the Lord, but oh, we see that, you know, different types of associates in Goloka Vrindavana, like different types of parrots and different types of animals and birds, they are serving the Lord, especially in the Nishanta Leela. No, that Shantrati is different. We are talking primarily about the Shantrati of Vaikuntha here. Vaikuntha Shantrati, and because Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he is devotee of Lord Narsinghadev, so he is associate of Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha, which is full of the mood of opulence and majesty and awe and reverence. Aishwarya Jnan, full Aishwarya Jnan there. So yes, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, constitutional position for all the five types of associates, whether they be in Shanta, Dasya, Sakya or Shinga, the constitutional position is that they are servants of the Lord. But Shant Rasa devotees, they think that service to the Lord means only remembering Him, nothing else. Actually, that is their definition of service. That is why they have been separated from the other four upper classes of Rasas. Yes. Yeah, you see, so we have to consider all those descriptions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it be in 5th canto, astronomical descriptions, geographical descriptions, or whether it be in the 3rd canto where Kapildev is talking about many things like, you know, what is five, you know, what is Karmendriyas, what is Gyanendriyas, what are the Pancha Mahabhutas, Sankhya Darshan is talking about. So all these things, they seem to be, when they are taken out of context, then they seem to be contradicting the real purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is to prove the glorification of pure devotion. But when they are taken into context with the original purpose and mission of Srimad Bhagavatam, then they are not considered contradicting the original purpose or mission of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then they are actually supporting the original purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like darkness is supporting light in making the, you know, glorification of light clearly evident. Yes. Yes.
Just like when we hear Puru Rava.
Yes.
It sounds like something really wild, but
Puru Rava and also Puranjana. You know, Puranjana in the 4th canto. And also Yayati.
Yeah.
These are all, you know, staunch sense gratifiers. Yeah, this and that. Now, so that you can, you know, just understand that what the karmi life is. You know, you cannot understand, if the story of Yayati is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, you see, if you will read the story of Yayati, you will think, oh, why story of such a gross karmi is being described in Bhagavatam? Yayati is not pure devotee of the Lord, he is not even jnani, he is not even ashtanga yogi, he is not at all on the nivritti marga, he is completely engrossed in pravritti marga. So why his story is being described? But because there is some purpose served there. If you will read the end, Yayati, he atones. He atones. Oh, no matter how much you try to gratify your senses, even for millions of years, in heaven. The fire of lust will ignite more. It will never become satiated. So yes, there are many purposes served there also. When all these stories of, you know, gross karmi people are being described in Bhagavatam, that also has some purpose to serve there. Yes.
As
certain impressions, also known as chitta.
Because sometimes speaking with women, they say, well, it's like Kusabi who says, the mind includes the emotion.
Yeah.
And now you seem to be saying as a separate part.
No, subtle impressions are not emotions actually. Subtle impressions, whenever a living entity performs any activity, either physically, mentally or vocally, as soon as he completes those activities are completed, but the subtle impressions of those activities, they become stored in the mind. Just like we can see that, you know, when a rocket goes from the sky, rocket passes through a particular portion of the sky and now it has gone to some other portion of the sky. But even that portion of the sky which rocket has already passed, that portion of the sky, you can still see the signs that the rocket has passed and, you know, left behind. The sign that the rocket has left behind in the sky is that, you know, particular line, cloudy line, which you can see, and from which you can deduct that, oh, rocket has passed from this portion of the sky also. So impressions are just like those signs, cloudy signs, left behind the rocket. So all the activities that you perform, whether pava or punya, after you perform those activities, a photographic image is stored, and they are known as subtle impressions. They are also known as samskaras. You know, sometimes we say that, oh, even after becoming a devotee, oh, see how in the personality of this devotee, previous samskaras have arose. So what do we mean by previous samskaras? Because that devotee was also a conditioned living entity before becoming a devotee, and he was doing so many nefarious activities. And the subtle impressions, the samskaras of those nefarious activities were stored in his chitta. And now, even though he has become a devotee, because those subtle impressions are so strong that they sometimes create turbulence and disturbance. Yes. So this is what we mean by subtle impressions of chitta. Storehouse for samskaras. Chitta is the storehouse of samskaras. Okay. What was your question, Prabhu?
You started the question to subtle aspects of material nature and is that recognized by the yogis when they merge into material nature, and furthermore?
Yogis never merge into material nature. They only make their mind, intelligence and ego merge into material nature. Yogis want to merge rather in the super soul, Paramatma feature of the Lord. They don't want to merge their jivatma, their spirit soul, in material nature. That is how it is possible. Living entity can never unite with the material nature like that.
And,
yes.
And furthermore, what is recognizing? So is that taken into consideration when they want to merge their mind with the?
No. You see, yogis, they don't want to merge themselves into material nature. They want to make themselves merge either into impersonal Brahman or into Paramatma. But they want to make their subtle body merge into the material nature. So, because, you know, if they will not merge their subtle body into material nature, then subtle body will continue to exist. And as long as subtle body will continue to exist, it will create hindrance in the paths of Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana. And that is why they want to make their subtle bodies merge into the material nature, so that subtle body can no more disturb them. That is the purpose of Jnana, Margis and Ashtanga Yogis. Yes. Oh yeah. Okay.
My question was, do they take into consideration the subtle aspects of the material nature they started to touch into? And furthermore, what does recognizing that subtle aspect have to do with the development of bhakti?
You see, they have no goal of bhakti. They have only goal of merging.
For the bhakti, what does, like, what does recognizing the subtle aspect?
Oh, okay, for devotees you are saying. Okay. You see, even for devotees, although the devotees will not follow this process mentioned in this shloka, but even for the devotees, knowing all these things, what is the function of the mind, what is the function of intelligence, what is the function of ego, ahankar, what is the function of chitta, certain impressions, these things are very useful sometimes. And, you know, you can also practically observe that these things are very useful, the knowledge of all these things, what is the function of outer senses, what is the function of inner senses, these things are sometimes very useful, even while describing devotional service. They are very useful. And from time to time, you can know the importance of knowing all these subtle aspects of material nature, even in the devotional service. Okay, I think we can talk privately now, because 9:30, you know. Okay, Hare Krishna.